Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host today. I'm going to apologize up front for my very hoarse, husky voice. I caught the dreaded viruses that are running around at the moment. So guys, please stay warm, stay healthy. Remember, garlic, ginger, turmeric, all really good for you. Great immune boosters to help you fight these colds and flu that are going around. So I've been thinking very hard about how to make my hour on High FM meaningful, inspiring, and stand out. You guys have amazing hosts to listen to, with caterers, culinary school graduates, and published cookbook authors. So who am I? Well, just to remind you that I specialize in budget cooking, keeping kosher, and just making life a little bit simpler in my foods. So I'm going to share the recipes from chefs that I've tested. I'm going to give you budget-friendly ideas, as well as testing some home gadgets that I have in my kitchen and that have been making the rounds on social media. So if you've got anyone that you need to be tested or you want us to try it out, let us know. If I have it in my kitchen, I will with pleasure give it a bash and then let you know how it goes. Now, I can't buy new gadgets because obviously budget, but what I've got enough of to make most people envious. It is why I'm pretty much banned from buying new gadgets. Not that it really stops me, but I try. I'm getting better. I pretty much have every spice known to man in my kitchen cupboard. I have gadgets that are really unnecessary, bought once, used once, but I'm happy to give you reviews on them and why I bought them at any time. Obviously, the first thing I have to talk about today is Shavuot is tonight, and everybody's talking dairy. Everybody's talking cheesecake. So I had to do something about that. Well, I'm not a baker. I don't make sweets. I don't make cakes. Give me a bread dough, not a problem. I will ace that drop of a hat. Biscuits for me often come out a little bit hard or cardboardy, tasteless because I have not followed a recipe, because baking is a science and, well, I'm not scientific. Even though my actual career is nursing, I'm still not perfect on measuring. I'm much better when I have to estimate and taste and just add and adjust, which you really can't do unless you are an exceptional baker. My mother is the baking queen in our family. She doesn't bake anymore, so I thought, well, it's time for me to start learning. I've baked the odd birthday cake when she hasn't been available, but her birthday cakes are absolutely amazing. I can't even begin to describe them. We've had circus tents. We've had houses where the roofs come off. We've even had a cake with a swimming pool in it. We've had tip-up trucks and stand-up rockets and Batman and, of course, the inevitable for girls, Dolly Varden. I'm not sure how many she's made in her career, but let's put it this way. She's been making it for over 50 years. And she finally got past that stage. Last granddaughter, no Dolly Vardens needed. And we're done. I'm sure she's rather grateful, but that was her iconic cake. But this week I was reading the Jewish Report, or should I say last week. And in it, I saw that Chef Dan, your other co-host, posted a Basque cheesecake in the Jewish Report. Now, I had a look at it. I'm not a great fan of cheesecake because they're too much effort. They're too expensive. They're far too sweet and way too rich. So I just don't make them. It was my dad's favorite thing. He loved cheesecakes. But this one was different. First of all, it only has a few ingredients. So if you want to find it, go have a look at the Jewish Report. You'll see under Chef Dan, it's a Basque cheesecake. And one of the things is there is no request for a specific brand of cream cheese. They always ask for Philadelphia cream cheese, which is out of most of our pockets. But this one was different. The recipe called for cream cheese. I have to make the cheese cake Challah Israel, so I don't have cream cheese. I bought cottage cheese, a smooth cottage cheese. It's not as creamy as cream cheese, as the wording goes, because the cream cheese has extra cream in it. It also needs generally a round tin. That's how you usually get your cheesecake, in a circle. I don't have round tins. The one round tin I do have didn't have a base to it. So I used a square. I followed the recipe perfectly. And I have to tell you, it came out unbelievable. I'll tell you more about it soon.
Whether you are halishing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
So as I was saying, I don't have a round tin. I used a square tin. I overlapped the baking paper exactly as it said. The cream, the cottage cheese, the eggs, the sugar, they all creamed beautifully soft pudding texture using a hand mixer, not a stand mixer with a paddle. So I had to alternate my hand mixer with a scraper, a spatula. It was beautiful, smooth, fluffy. Baked it for an hour, and the brown on top, no biscuit base, and it is like eating cheesecake pudding or cheesecake mousse. I don't know what you want to call it. It is not too sweet. It is not too rich, which is a problem because I landed up, I think by the time I was finished, I'd had like about a quarter of the cake by myself. Can't wait to serve the rest on Shavuot for breakfast. Now, moving on to Shavuot. Shavuot is, everybody's in this thing of, it's got to be milchik, what are you making, trying to find milchik recipes and things like that. But if you're on a budget, serving a fish meal is going to be expensive, because literally fish is more expensive than kosher meat. Whoever thought you'd say something like that? But it is very expensive. And, you know, when you go to the fishmongers around the area, the shtetl, or whatever you want to call this, we landed up with, you've got your salmon trout, you've got your salmon, you've got your hake, and then you're like done. You have to go out to the fishmongers to get other kosher fish, and then it's a schlep because you've got to take your fish board, you've got to take your own knife for them to cut and everything. And some of them are really, to get a good decent fish is expensive, because you want to walk into a fishmonger and it mustn't smell like fish. If it actually smells like fish, their fish is not fresh. Just to let you know. So I've got two dairy friend recipes here. Budget friendly. One does contain fish that you can buy frozen off the shelf at Pick n Pay. And the other one is dairy free. They are both, to me, comfort foods. And I just absolutely adore them. I don't make them often because they are so dairy rich. Now the first one is an elevated macaroni and cheese. And the other one is my version of a haddock mornay. And it works around 30 to 50 rand per person as a portion size, you know, without your, and that includes whatever vegetable you choose to make. And it's just delicious. And now that it's cold, it is the perfect dish to serve on cold nights. The first one is my indulgent mac and cheese. It is 500 mils of cream. Or you can do 250 ml of milk and 250 ml of cream, depending on how rich you want it. 250 grams of strong cheddar cheese. 125 grams. Now, you can't, unfortunately, get kosher Emmentaler, which is the perfect cheese. So you can use Gouda cheese as a, or Gouda, depends on how you say it, as a substitute. It does work out just as well. You can also use provolone. 2 cloves of crushed garlic, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon of paprika, salt and pepper to taste, and then roughly 80 grams of breadcrumbs to cover the dish. I have actually used salt and vinegar chips before, or just plate salted chips. And then 100 grams of finely grated Parmesan to top that. Now, if you want a different substitute for Parmesan, it's still expensive, but it is cheaper than the Parmesan, and that is finely grated cashew nuts. That is what they make the vegan butter out of, is the cashew nuts, ground up very fine, and then obviously processed. And then about 400 grams of macaroni, cooked al dente, according to the package. Now, dente means it's not soft and limp that when you pull it out the water, it falls apart. It must still have keep its shape and then have a bite to it. So when you put your macaroni in, they say to you, salted water, like very salty water, and it must be boiling before you put your macaroni in. I often, and I know it's wrong, but I've done it, when I know I'm going to forget or I've got other stuff that I need to get done, I tend to stick the macaroni in the water before it's even boiled. Or I boil the kettle, put it into the pot, and then heat it up that way. It's already halfway done. Macaroni's not as great when you do it that way, but it works when you need to be doing other things. You're going to put all the macaroni into a oven-proof dish. You're going to pour your cream cheese and sauce over it. You're going to sprinkle your grated cheese. You're going to top it with your parmesan and your breadcrumbs. And then you place it under the grill until it's golden brown. Remember, all the ingredients are already cooked, so you just need it in the oven for a couple of minutes to brown the top. And I've seen it done. If you are somebody who has one of those food blowtorch things, just torch the top. It works fine, especially in a hurry. And it's great served with some peas. And then if you want a specific protein, so peas are a very good protein. The cheese is a mild protein, but your great protein would be something like mushrooms. So diced up mushrooms fried with onions and garlic, beautiful accompaniment. Now, my second recipe is not a favorite amongst the whole family. My family are not big fish eaters. The ones who do eat fish tend to have extremely expensive taste. Things like tuna, steaks, not canned, and salmon, either smoked or sashimi-style salmon. They love that. Occasionally, they'll have the salmon fillets, but they must be done like certain ways. So fish is not a big part of my household. But this one, even most of the non-fish eaters will eat this one. I do actually make it in two batches, or separate it into two batches, should I say. So what I do for this one is, and this is my childhood comfort dish, by the way, it's a haddock and spaghetti bake, I call it, because it's not technically a kedgeree, but it is very similar. You're going to preheat your oven to 180 degrees. You need 500 grams of spaghetti, or you can use linguine, which is slightly bigger than the spaghetti, but smaller than tagliatelle noodles. You need one piece of frozen smoked haddock per person. So you buy the boxes with the haddock medallions, or you can buy like the whole pieces. It's up to you. I just prefer the medallions because they're already cut and folded and, you know, just easy to break up once they're cooked. You need enough milk to cover the fish, 125 grams of grated yellow cheese, and a bit extra for topping, a tablespoon of flour, one onion diced, salt and pepper to taste, and breadcrumbs for the topping. Occasionally, I will put tomato on as well, but that's just my choice. So in a pot, you're going to boil your spaghetti as per your instructions on the packet. Once again, boiling salted water, put your spaghetti in, and then you're going to let that start cooking. We'll carry on with this recipe now.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Let's carry on with making the kedgeree. So you're going to cover your in a pot. You've got your spaghetti boiling on the side. In a pot, you're going to put your haddock. You're going to just cover it with the milk, and you're going to poach it gently. Don't let the milk bubble or boil up because that just burns the milk and leaves a terrible taste and makes that funny, foam on top of it, which I really don't like. Once the fish is ready, and this literally takes maximum 8 to 10 minutes, take it out, separate it from the milk, but don't get rid of the milk. You're going to be using that milk. You put the fish into another bowl. You flake it easily. It should break up nicely into chunks that are easy to eat, not big pieces. You don't want a big mouthful. You take 125 mils of the milk out of your pot, keep the rest. You're slowly going to add that 125 mils of milk to your flour, and you pour it back in, slowly thickening the flour and the milk together. It does take a while. You can add your diced onion at this time, and you're going to return the pot to the heat and stir it until the mixture thickens slightly. You'll notice the difference as it's thickening from the flour. You'll see how it just, it's beautiful, thick, you know, stirring. And when you add the cheese, it's going to even thicken up more. So don't, you don't want it to be too thick. It needs to be able to coat your spaghetti as well as your fish. You're going to turn off the heat when the cheese is melted. You're going to taste your cheese sauce because you need to adjust your seasoning. Good seasonings for the for a cheese sauce, besides your salt and pepper, is things like mustard. That adds a beautiful depth of flavor. You can also, if you really want, put some garlic in. Then this is where I separate my dishes. So I drain my cooked spaghetti and I add the cheese mixture. So it's spaghetti and cheese, the fish is on the side. I take out for enough for whoever doesn't want the fish. And I put that into a different dish. Also oven proof, because it's also going to get the breadcrumbs sprinkled on top. Then I mix in the fish with the remaining spaghetti and cheese sauce so that I have my haddock all ready. At this stage, you can add, if you want to serve a single pot dish, you can put in your frozen vegetables. Once again, peas go very well with cheese sauce. You can add in mushrooms. I usually top it with some tomato. You mix it together. Everything must be nicely coated in your oven-proof dish. Your breadcrumbs on top. And once again, under the grill so that it goes brown and on top. But everything is already cooked, so 5-10 minutes, and it's ready for service. These do freeze well, by the way. Surprisingly, I wasn't sure about it, but macaroni and cheese, we all know, freezes, and the fish can be refrozen because it is now cooked. So back into the freezer, and it's great to have in tinfoil dishes in your freezer for days where you don't feel like cooking. And it's perfect for winter, like I said. It is my comfort food of choice. I just love it. I grew up on it. I think, if I remember correctly, we didn't have the onion in it, but I do like the onion flavoring the milk. The reason we don't fry the onions beforehand is you don't want them to go brown. You just want a nice coloring, a flavoring, should I say, rather than color in your food. Now, those are my favorite comfort foods for winter and for Shavuot. My family, we serve meat on Shavuot. Serving milk for Shavuot is just a custom. It is not a requirement. And we're just not cheese or dairy eaters for dinner. So I'd probably serve this one as a lunch rather than as a supper for my family, with a nice thick minestrone soup for dinner. And you can find that on my website. There's a nice, quick, easy minestrone that's literally out of the tins. Once again, not expensive and really, really friendly to use, budget-friendly to use. No need for dessert unless you really want to. You can lighten the meal up with a beautiful fresh salad, whether it is a cabbage salad, once again, or a coleslaw salad. Once again, also, cheap, easy, budget-friendly, and really filling. And what's nice is there are cabbage salads that you can make in advance and pickle. And speaking of cabbage salads and carrot salads, coleslaws, things like that, the last time I was on with Sharon, and somebody asked us about the Twister Chopper. Twister is a brand name. You can buy it at Pick and Pay, at their Very Mark stall. You can buy it on Take a Lot. You can buy it from, I don't know, all these home places, anywhere you go. And I said I would review it because I have them. I obviously have two. I have one for meat, one for milk. Mine are way past their warranty, which is only for a year. So they do need a bit of finessing because some of the plastic parts have broken a bit. And they are not ideal for big family cooking. They're perfect for cooking for a small family, 2, 3, 4 people max, because of their size. For me, one onion is not going to do anything in my house. There are 6 of us most of the time. Occasionally, I have had to readjust my thinking and serve down to 2 or 3, but that doesn't happen often. Because if the children aren't home, or some of the children are home, they've got friends with them, there's always extra people to feed in my house, always. And I love that. I think that's sort of a Jewish mother's nachas, is being able to feed people. Whether you're a good cook or a bad cook, I know it can be stressful when they spring people on you at the last second and they go, Ma, is it okay if so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, by the way, as well, can stay for dinner? Oh, and by the way, so I have once gone from 3 people for supper to 11. It's where your freezer comes in handy. It's called frozen pita bread or frozen wraps. I buy packets of wraps. They are always in the freezer. And, you know, vegetarian stuff or sausages. Hot dogs. Hot dogs go down well with young adults and teens all the time. So there is always sauce in there. And then to make the quick cabbage coleslaw or whatever, chop up an Israeli salad, tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, and you're done in a few seconds. And the kids don't realize that, well, you actually didn't. You started off with nothing in your house for supper. And that works for me beautifully. I love doing that. So I was saying about the twister. Now there's two. There's the twister chopper pull, and there's the twister chopper press. Both do the same job. Both have the same amount of blades. I have one. I have the push one for dairy, and I have the pull one for meat, just because that's how we used it. We opened that. One of them first used it, and then that's what it became. So, and I have one for Pesach. Now, in load shedding times, these are the perfect things for chopping, because you don't have your blender, you don't have your, what did I used to call them, the Magimix or whatever it is that chops up your stuff. So here is a nice one. Now, there were 2 flaws, like I said, that I found in both of these. The one is they only work in small quantities. That is my biggest one. But like I said, if you've got a family of 2 or 4, it is the perfect size. Then the other problem, you can't put in a whole vegetable. It has to be cut. So if you've got a big onion, you can't just quarter it. You would need to cut it even smaller, because the big chunks, and that's how mine got damaged, are too hard for the blade to cut through after a year of using it. You know, even with your kitchen knives, they do go dull after a while. So it does take a while. You do need to cut them into smaller quantity or sizes to work. And they work out fine. The longer you push on them or the pull on them, the smaller the dice is. So you can make salsas, you can make your Israeli salad, things that don't need perfect chopping. That is where it looks. It's great. It's great for sauces and things like that, just to blend small quantities. Like if you've made, what have I used it for? Oh, yes. I made a sauce that landed up lumpy for some reason. So I landed up scooping a little bit out, putting it in this twister, zhuzhing it a bit. The lumps disappeared. I moved it through into another bowl, and I just did that until I'd finished my sauce. It was a bit time-consuming, but we had no electricity, so I couldn't stick it in a blender. So it worked beautifully. Now, the chopper press does need a little bit more strength to push down on the plunger to make it work. Where this becomes a problem is if you've got arthritic hands or something like that, it is going to be quite painful to use. And if you're short like me, often you need to stand on something to get the correct height to push down. My kitchen table, thankfully, has a bit of a lip, which I hate, by the way, the lip. But it's there, and I use it, and it gives me the leverage I need to push down on the chopper. It works. Look, it's really quick when you do it. It will chop your onion in a few seconds instead of you standing there dicing it. Do be aware that if you diced onions in that, when you open it, that's when your tears come. So it's not going to stop the tears. It just makes it shorter. Then the pull is much easier to use. You put one hand on the container and you just pull with the other and it chops brilliantly. They both work great. They both have non-slips at the bottom, so they should stay on your counter perfectly. If you've got a dish that moves around, like cutting boards and things like that, use a damp piece of paper towel underneath or even a damp washcloth and it'll work perfectly over that. Stops them slipping around. And they store nicely. You can put the bases in the dishwasher if you've got a dishwasher. Unfortunately, the tops are not dishwasher safe, so the lids have to be rinsed by hand. The reason being is they've got the openings where your plungers and your metal parts go, and they do need to be drained carefully and made sure they don't rust or grow mold. So wipe them down nicely when you're doing that. Now, I use this when I'm on my own or we've got leftover, like a Sunday night. Chicken mayonnaise on toast, like toasted sandwiches, perfect. You've got leftover chicken from Shabbos, it's cooked. Break it up into smaller pieces. Put it in with a tablespoon of mayonnaise. Put your lid on and chop it away. And you've got easy chopped chicken mayo to make on your sandwiches. So that's, and tuna mayo is even quicker. So I also have made what's called tzatziki. Tzatziki is a Greek dish. My version of it, basically it's grated or chopped up cucumber, Greek yogurt, some salt, and some onion. It's easy to do this in that machine, especially if you just need it. Like you're on a diet. You need to eat healthy. That's a nice, healthy, light lunch. It's a beautiful side in a summer's day or even in a winter. Tzatziki I can eat anytime. To make it parve, I use mayonnaise instead of Greek yogurt. But you chop up your cucumber so that it's in smaller pieces that fits into your base. You put in your onion, also chopped, however much you need, and your spoonful of yogurt or mayonnaise, your salt. You pull away or push down on it until it's chopped to the size you want. And it's literally going to take you half the time that it would take you if you were going to stand and grate your cucumber. So that's why I like it. I have used it for big meals. Like I said, load shedding. So I have used it. The only difference is that it takes me a few batches to get the amount I want, but otherwise it works perfectly. Now, the thing is, they're not exactly cheap. You would think made of plastic, mostly plastic, they would be like reasonably priced, but they're not. The press is between 299 Rand directly from Verimark. If you buy it through Take a Lot, it is on sale now. I saw it at about 300 Rand, but apparently their normal price is 500 Rand. You know, for a handheld thing that's not going to use electricity, that can't have too many working parts, it seems a bit excessive. But if you're somebody who is on your own, taking out a cumbersome machine every time you're going to chop up your vegetables or whatever, it's not worth it. It is definitely worth buying these things. And if load shedding should, which probably coming back soon, now that winter's hit, we've been spoiled for a few weeks. You know, it might be a good idea investing in one of these. Even if you keep it, if you're keeping kosher, if you keep a parv, then just get yourself one knife, one board, and this machine to chop up your vegetables, and you can use it all the time. So the press, like I said, it's 299 to 500 Rand. The pull one is a little bit cheaper. It's 169 Rand. From Verimark directly, or 439 Rand, I saw it on the Take a Lot website. I'm not sure why there is such a huge price difference, to tell you the truth, because, you know, why is, I mean, I suppose Verimark are the holders of the trademark. Maybe that's why it's cheaper. So you can buy it while you're doing your grocery shopping at Pick and Pay if you want. And like I said, it's the best thing. For a single person or just two people, it's easier to wash than to take out your cumbersome thing. You need to do less chopping work. If you think about my tzatziki or even the chicken mayonnaise. Chicken mayonnaise, you need your chopping board for your chicken. You need your knife. You then need your mixing bowl, your mayonnaise, and you're going to stand there with a fork and your knife to shred your chicken. Here, you take a knife, you cut a chicken breast, say, cut it into three or four pieces, plop it into your little chopper, put in your mayonnaise. I'd say at max 10 mils, 2 teaspoons of mayonnaise should be enough, and some paprika to give it some flavor, unless you're using your grilled skin, which would have your flavor in it. And pull away or push away, whichever one you're using, and you've got your perfect sandwich filling. You can actually even add that to a salad if you feel like it. It works out perfectly. So those are my suggestions. The other item that I tested, we gave one away last year, and Sharon and myself, when we did a joint show, was called a Wonder Bag. And there's been a lot of discussion on the Wonder Bag. The Wonder Bag has been amazing for me. It's great on Shabbos when there's load shedding or no electricity for whatever reason. Or not everything fits into my hostess tray. So if I've got a lot of people coming and I need the extra space, I use these things. I've been lucky enough to get two. So I got a medium one, which is the one I bought, and then directly from them. And then I got a larger one that somebody was selling secondhand because they don't use it. I don't know why. But I love it. I absolutely love it, and I'll tell you why soon.
Chalashin for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So I was talking about the Wonder Bags. Now, Wonder Bag is actually a South African invention, and it's not for cooking. It's keeping food warm. It looks like a big giant pillow. You open it up. The sides are big, puffy, like a puffer jacket, but on steroids. I must admit, to keep mine clean, I will wrap my pot in a cloth or in newspaper so that I can keep the inside of my Wonder Bag clean, although it does have washing instructions on it. Once your food is cooked, you put it in this Wonder Bag, you put the pillow lid on top, and you pull the drawstring, and it closes together like a drawstring purse. And it keeps food hot for up to 8 hours. I would say 6 to 8 hours, depending on how overly you fill it. It must be sealed properly. And I mean, I've done that with all sorts of, with soups. Didn't have enough space to put it in the warmer to go along. It was yontif. I had like the meat and the vegetables. I had a whole lot of stuff in, and I just ran out of space for the soup pot. It was so easy. I put it in. I pulled the drawstrings closed, and I left it. And when it came time to serve the soup, it was perfectly hot. Now, believe it or not, this actually works with cold. It's not advertised to keep things cold, but it actually did. I needed something to stay really, really fresh and cold while I was doing a long drive. It was a 3.5 hour drive. I didn't want to take a whole cooler box and a whole other stuff, and it works perfectly. So the big one, obviously for big families, single people get the smaller one. And like I said, with load shedding, what it helps with load shedding here is, if you work from home, okay, so this is where it works the best, and you've got your load shedding schedule, all you do is you cook your food while you've got electricity. Simple. Put it in your drawstring and off you go. You can also do it if you need to keep things hot till you get home. You're going out, it's cooked, but you're going to get home late. You need to just reheat it. You don't want it to get back to freezing. So if you're out for 6 hours, come home, it's warm. You either microwave it or stick it back on your stove, and there it is. So the small one takes obviously a small pot. I have overfilled mine, just so you know. This is not how it's meant to work. By putting 2 or 3 small pots in at the same time, I stacked them on one above each other and then just stuffed it and pulled really tight, and it worked. It's, like I said, not meant to do that. You can use these on Shabbos for people who need to know that. It is not it's not cooking at all. It's absolutely, it's just keeping stuff warm. So if you open it, you dish up, and you pull the drawstring closed, just check with your rabbi that this is okay, but you can close it up again to keep it warm, you know, for seconds. instead of just leaving it open. It does not cook at all. It doesn't work on electricity. It is insulated. And it is a brilliant thing. So the original, as far as I can remember, the original came, it was in those, you've seen them in the first aid boxes. They come with that like silver blanket. So that's what the first ones looked like. And then it became, well, it wasn't fashionable. Ugly. There was no way to keep it closed properly. And somebody came up with working out this insulation and then being able to drawstring it closed. I have seen it used in game on game reserves, on game drives, where they do bush dinners and stuff like that, or bush breakfasts, keeping stuff hot until they get out onto the bush so that they can serve a hot breakfast. I've seen it used in campers, all sorts of places. Like, you need to take something hot to a family friend, stick it in your car, in this thing, off you go. You get there, you open it up, and you've still got a piping hot meal to deliver. So I've seen it used when people take food to friends and family who are in hospital and aren't going to be eating the hospital food. Your family or your friend member or whoever it is gets a piping hot meal delivered to their bed, and you take your Wonder Bag home with you. So it's really, really absolutely beautiful. So if you haven't looked at a Wonder Bag, think of it, save up for it, and it is a great investment.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Right, that was Timeless by Meghan Trainor, a new release. I love her songs. And Timeless is not something we have. We actually don't have as much time as we thought. I just wanted to let you know that the two reviews that I did for the Twister and for the Wonder Bag are not paid for. They are my own reviews, my personal opinions, and not the opinion of anybody else. So I hope that will help you all make correct decisions, budget-friendly kitchen decisions, and planning your kitchen when you move into a new place. I am Adrian Bugatti, and I'm going to get ready for Shavuot now. So please enjoy the music, enjoy the rest of your day, and have a beautiful and special Shavuot.